Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says this: without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Good evening, everyone. It is great to be with you here tonight. As was said, this does feel like coming home. I get to be with my family, my extended family. I even tricked somehow a cousin into showing up tonight. I don't know how that happened. The way I got all of you to show up is because you were expecting Mitch Davis. I apologize about that, but you have to do what you got to do to get people in the seats. But it is wonderful to be here tonight. I thank the elders very much for the opportunity to be here with you tonight. And I so much appreciate these elders, as they are the ones that encouraged me and gave me the opportunity to begin preaching. And it means so much, all that they've done to support and encourage me over the years. Thank you so much. Good to be with you tonight. You know, so far in this series, you have looked at great heroes of faith. You have looked at Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. But tonight, we study Rahab. Wait, as Ben said, Rahab? Where do you go with that? What do you say about Rahab? How is Rahab, in Hebrews chapter 11, how is she a great hero of faith? You know, I think a lot of Christians feel a little perplexed when you say Rahab is a great hero of faith. A lot of people feel perplexed when you read Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to be there with me, we're going to observe verse 30 and 31 together. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. I mean, we feel very comfortable with going to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 7. We feel very comfortable with looking and calling Noah a great hero of faith, going down to Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. We feel very comfortable with that. However, we don't feel as comfortable, some of us, at going to Hebrews chapter 11 and looking at that, or even going to Matthew chapter 1 and noticing the fact that Rahab is in the very lineage of Jesus, our Savior. How is that? How can that be? Well, tonight I want to help us to understand that a little bit more. I believe some of the reasons that we feel uncomfortable about that and misunderstand that is really because we misunderstand the story of Rahab. And we misunderstand what God is trying to give us by giving us her story. And I think we're forgetting and not understanding fully the lessons that are presented for us as well. So tonight, I want to have the opportunity to take a look at her story and the lessons that we need to learn from, indeed, this hero of faith. First tonight, I want us to clear up some misconceptions, dispel some notions, if you will. We're going to come back to Hebrews chapter 11 later. I'd invite you to open up your Bibles to the Old Testament. Let's go and look at the story together, beginning in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2 is where we are first introduced to Rahab in the events that she is involved in. We're going to begin by reading those first 7 verses of Joshua chapter 2 together. Joshua chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Then Joshua the son of Nun sent 2 men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they come to search out all the land." Verse 4. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. It came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now let's pause there and talk about something that is very important to this story. Let's start with what we are not told from the Scriptures. A lot of people will go to the Scriptures right here and say, well, then obviously what God is telling me is that there are some instances, some times in life where it is okay and is acceptable to lie. And I know that God says doesn't lie and He hates lying and that's a sin. But obviously, if it's for the good of doing His will, well, that's okay. In other words, when people would say, well, the ends justify the means, right? And as long as we're serving the Lord, as long as the very end result is good and glorifies God, it's okay. No. Lying is never okay. Lying is a sin, and God is not accepting of this here. When we read in this story, this doesn't become a problem for Bible believers. This is not a contradiction in Scriptures. Lying is never acceptable, and disobedient actions will never be overlooked by God, even if the end result works out for the good. You go back in your Scriptures, lying was not acceptable when Abram lied about Sarai. Lying was not acceptable when the midwives in Egypt lied. And it's most certainly still not acceptable when Rahab does it here. Romans chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "And why not say," this is Paul, "as we are slanderously reported and as some claim that we say, quote, let us do evil that good may come. Their condemnation is just." Paul says people are trying to accuse us of such, and we're not going to do something evil and wrong in order to do something good. That's never okay. We see it again in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Notice this with me. "But the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters," and notice this, "all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Please note with me in the Scripture that it says all liars. Not some liars. Not it's okay as long as you're trying to do something for the Lord. That's not what it says. A lie is a lie. All liars will miss heaven. End of that story. So that gets a little bit confusing. So then, what was Rahab committed for? What did she do that was good in the sight of God? Well, turn with me in your Bibles, if you will. Keep your marker there in Joshua, as we will return very brief or very soon. But turn over with me in your New Testament to the book of James. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I want us to notice two scriptures with us. There's three places in the New Testament we can go into the name of Rahab. We see it in the lineage of Jesus. We see it in the great heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. We see it here again in James 2. And in James 2, chapter 2, verse 25, it says this. "In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way?" What is she commended for here? It's not for lying. It is for receiving the messengers. and sending them out and protecting them. Why is that a big deal? I want to briefly mention it now and then come back to this point in just a moment. Think about the context. Don't read your Bible like we read it with a big picture already displayed for us. Rahab doesn't have the Bible. Rahab does not know that she's going to be safe at the end of all of this. She doesn't know any of that. She doesn't know how this is going to go for her. She doesn't even know if she can trust these two spies. They're spies. They're men that are coming in to destroy the city. So why in the world would she do that? We'll talk more on that in just a moment. Flip with me, if you will, back over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and then we once again read verse 31 to see what she was commended for. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. What was she commended for? For receiving them in. For welcoming these men of God, these representatives of Yahweh. God didn't say, thank you for lying, for keeping them safe. It's just for accepting them and taking care of them, because in doing that, what is she doing? She's serving the Lord. By accepting these two men, she is serving the Lord. And I would ask us, as we read through these things, instead of looking at Rahab the harlot and looking at her sins as a problem for us as we read it, what we need to see in Rahab's story is her faith. Her faith and her works working together. And because of that, God's grace on full display, redeeming her because of her faith. That's what we should see. You're there very close in James 2. I'm going to go back to James chapter 2, and I want to back up and notice something in its full context. Let's read this little section that we probably know very well, but let's think about it with Rahab attached to it. James chapter 2, back up to verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Pause there. Is that not Rahab? Rahab didn't say, come on in, you're from Yahweh, you're from the one true Lord, I hope this works out for you. She receives them, she cares for them, and she protects them. Continue with me. Verse 17, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. The scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, notice that's important. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? How many times have we all read in James chapter 2? And we've all read and we know about the perfected faith. We know about the demonic faith and we know about the dead faith. And we use this as a proof text to talk about that. and how you have to have works and you have to do more than believe, because obviously the demons believe, and that's our point. And we feel very comfortable with looking at Abraham and saying, that's right, Abraham's a man that has these things. But do you ever stop reading after 24? 25, verse 25 puts Rahab on the same playing field as the faith of Abraham. A lot of people don't look at Rahab in that way, in that same light. But she is. She is a great hero of faith, and I want to show you, secondly tonight, I want to show you why that is. I want to show you why Rahab's faith is on par with all of these others, and why she is someone that we need to learn from and that we need to emulate. Turn back with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. We're going to go through her story, and I hope to point out some things that either are a reminder or help you to see it in another light that you have not seen before. We started by reading those first seven verses, so we won't reread verse 4 and 5, but we will go back to it in context to say what is happening in verse 4 and 5. Well, essentially, that's where she lies. That's where the king sends out the men. She says, I don't know them. I don't know where they're at. How does that show us something about her faith? How does her lie show us something about her faith? That seems strange. But I submit to you tonight that it does show us something about her faith. I believe it shows that even in the face of possible death, that did not stop her from serving the Lord, albeit in the wrong way. But why does she lie? She does it to serve God. Again, I'll go back. She does not know these two men. It's not that she trusts them, that she's necessarily trying to look out just for them. She's doing it because she's trying to serve the Lord. And you'll see that as we keep going through her story, and that'll make more sense. Think about what this does when she lies. What does this make her to the city of Jericho? A treasonous citizen. And at that, in that culture, on top of that, a female, within their culture, we all know what would have happened if they knew that she was lying and harboring people from the outside that are here to do harm. She would have been put to death. We know that. It would have happened. Her and probably her whole family. The very fact that she knew that, and she could have given them away. Remember where the spies are. We're not talking about a context where the spies are right behind her with a knife or something, and by fear she's doing it. They're up there on the roof. She could have easily whispered to the guards, yeah, they're upstairs. Please get them. Go overtake them. She does it to protect them. To me, that shows her faith in the Lord. Continue in her story. We stopped in verse 7. Let's begin reading in verse 8. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water on the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted and no courage remained in any way any longer because of you. Why? She says, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. What does she display here? Well, I submit to you that her very words here are really the very definition of faith that we can learn from. Think about what she just said. I know that the Lord parted the Red Sea. How did she know that? That happened 40 years ago. She wasn't there. She didn't witness it. How would she possibly know about that? Now, more recently, right on the other side of the Jordan River from Jericho, Sihon and Og were defeated right over there. That was more recent. But again, she didn't witness that. How did she know about something that happened 40 years ago? How did she know about them utterly destroying these people on the other side of the Jordan? Well, how do you and I gain our faith? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. She said back in verse 9, I know that the Lord has given you the land. She said in verse 11, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. How did she know about these things? Because she had heard the truth about it, and then she believed it. That makes her different than the other citizens of Jericho. Think about everybody else in Jericho. They heard about the Red Sea. They heard about Sihon and Og. Why did God choose to redeem her and her family? It's simple. She heard truth and then believed it, and then turned that belief into action, which is obedient faith. And that's what shows us that she had faith. That is why she takes in two men she's never seen and protects them when she could be killed for it. It's not because she's trying to protect them. It's because she believes in Yahweh. She believes that these are messengers from the Lord. And think about this, too. She doesn't know what the end result is. We have the scripture and we know what happens in the story. She doesn't know. She doesn't know the end result of doing these things. That is impressive to me. She has no clue that she can trust these two men. She has no clue that they're going to protect her, and she does it anyway. Because she has faith in a Lord that, quite frankly, she doesn't even know a lot about to this point. But it's more impressive to me than her just saying some things. We can all say things. A lot of people in the world can admit they believe in God, right? But when it comes to action, what do? Well, I would again submit to you that it's not only her words that define her faith, but her actions define her faith. Let me show you what I mean by that. Again, context. Chapter 2 and verse 1. She receives them in, right? She has no promises, right? When did she get some type of agreement, some type of promise? It wasn't when she received them in verse 1. Go with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2 and pay attention with me to verses 12 through 14. Now, therefore, she says to these spies, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth.